Thank you, Trevor. I was going to wear a fishing hat with all the lures in it and bring a fishing pole today, but I don't have them. I don't know much about fishing, but I know a lot more than I can do. In fact, I know that there's at least four that can attest to this fact. Can I get a witness? There are those that call fishing a sport. And the tools of the sport are a fast boat and a fishing pole and various lures and lines and hooks and what have you. And there's also a fish finder, which is an electronic computerized gizmo that basically takes all the guesswork out of it. You just have to look at the screen, and when you see all the little images of the fish, you stop and you drop your line in the water. All the guessing is out of it, and the only thing you have to do is just try to convince that fish to get on your hook. It's within this that we can see that, to me, the fish finder, if it is truly a sport, if fishing is a sport, isn't a fish finder a little bit like the home team getting an extra down in football? Or perhaps having a little bit larger rim in basketball? Or perhaps getting an extra 10 pounds per weight class in wrestling? It seems like an unfair advantage. And yet, we know the fish finder. Now, I will say this. I love fish. I will help you eat your fish. It matters not to me whether you used a fish finder and cheated or not. I'll eat your fish. Last week, we concluded the Gospel of John in chapter 20 as John brought it into summary form. Today, we go into chapter 21, in which we find the disciples fishing. The first thing we'll see there is follow the leader in verses 1 through 3. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now we know at this point the Feast of the Unleavened Bread that was associated with the Passover is over. All of those thousands of pilgrims that had journeyed to Jerusalem have now gone back home. We aren't given any indication in the text whatsoever if these disciples of Jesus were afraid of the Jews, of getting arrested, that they didn't stay in Jerusalem, or if simply it was a matter of convenience and they headed back to Galilee. But they get there and you know, they're wondering what to do next. We have no indication from Peter. Was he going out fishing because he needed to catch up on some bills? Or was he simply going out for recreation or sport, if you will? We know that they were somewhat unsuccessful and probably could have benefited greatly from a fish finder. But we know that Peter, as the leader of the group, decides he's going to go fishing, and everybody else is going, "Well, Peter, you're the leader, so we're going to go with you." So off they go. Secondly, we can see a decisive decision in verses 4 through 6. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Jesus is out there and he basically is yelling from the shore, "Hey, what have you guys caught?" Now, the disciples weren't aware of this, but Jesus was. He knew the answer. He had orchestrated the episode so that it would go just the way that he wanted it to. And you can just see these proud fishermen. "What'd you catch?"
"Nothing."
"I didn't hear you."
"Nothing."
"What did you say?" So we can see that that Jesus is addressing them, that they caught no fish. And so he's telling them, you know, "Hey, there's something else you can do here." Now, you can just imagine that as they're doing this, that they're out there, they've been there all night, fishing at night, which was the custom. Because if you fish at night, then your fish are going to be fresh for the market right as sun's coming up. As people had fish for breakfast. We have pancakes, They had fish. Okay, so we can see that as this is going, that as Jesus is orchestrating the event, all of these fish that these disciples failed to catch were only 6 feet away. They could have made a major haul if they had known this, but they didn't catch a single fish. And now there's this man on the shore telling them to take their net and put it on the other side of the boat. Now, if I was one of the disciples, which I wasn't at the time, I'm not that old, you can see that rather than trying to pull this net up out of the water and throw it onto the other side of the boat would seem a little convoluted. Why not just simply do a 180? And so the net then will stay on the left side of the boat. That would be logical. But that isn't what Jesus asked them to do. And isn't it amazing how that this voice, that they don't know who it is. But every time that Jesus is speaking to his own, they hear a calm confidence in his voice that would indicate a level of authority. And so we know that they must obey that voice. Isn't it pure joy for us when we recognize that voice and respond to it? And what sorrow when we choose to reject it and not receive it to ourselves, that we're left without the goodness that he was trying to bring to us. But within this picture, we know that we've got this whole idea of setting aside the pride. Just for a second, put yourself in Peter's shoes. I mean, Peter isn't standing up in the boat, but when this guy's hollering to him from the shore, you can just see Peter out there going, "I'm a professional. I do this for a living." And of course, Peter was a professional, and he could probably have written an encyclopedia on fishing. But you got this guy hollering from the shore, telling him, "Go get that yellow book and open it up and read it. You know, that one that is fishing for dummies." And Peter does what he says, and he's got an amazing catch. Verse 7, number 3, we can see that fish, it's what's for dinner. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, within this, we can see that John is the one who identifies Jesus in the boat. "Hey, that's the Lord." And of course, you know, Peter, who's known as being just a tad bit impetuous, you know, grabs his outer garment, because, you know, they'd be fishing in their underwear, if you would, because it's what fishermen do. Who else is out there on the lake in the middle of the night? Nobody. So it's what they did. So Peter grabs that and jumps in the water and starts swimming towards shore, leaving the rest of the guys to drag the boat in with this great big heavy net. The disciples get to the shore first in the boat, and they check out what Jesus is doing, and he's there, and he's baking fish, and he's baking bread over the coals. And so they go over to check it out, and Peter finally gets to shore. Obviously, Peter was not as good of a swimmer as he was a fisherman. And so, to save face, he goes over and grabs the net and pulls it a little bit more on shore so that none of the fish get away. I mean, Peter had to save face. I mean, because, you know, here he is. He jumps in the water, race up there to see the Lord, and these guys coming in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, beat him there. So to save face, he drags this thing up there. But isn't it interesting that as we look at Peter wanting to save face, that, you know, it's one of those things we just kind of have to stop and realize, well, if we think about what happened the night before, maybe Peter was as good of a swimmer as he was a fisherman. Okay, so as we look at this, Jesus is telling them, bring your fish. John mentions the number, it's 153. And that's simply for the reason of letting us know that is a whole lot. Normally the nets would break. Okay, so as he's looking at this scene, as he's describing it, you know, it was way beyond the capacity. And Jesus is demonstrating that he is making provision for his own. He certainly did out there with the net, but now he's coming and he's saying, I got some fish here, but we need some more. So let's go ahead and put some of your fish on the grill too. And so this is what they're doing. And in the midst of Jesus making this provision for them, they're looking at this and it's like, okay, the provision also includes food, which we all know that's biblical, to have food and fellowship together. Amen? Okay. So the one thing in this text is just stop and look for a minute and just start to add up. How many miracles are taking place at the same time in this passage? There is no mention of Jesus bringing a fishing pole. There is no mention of Jesus bringing the ingredients to mix up the bread. There's nothing there that indicates how he chose to start the fire. And for any of you guys that have tried to surprise your wife and cook a meal, and you know, you try to get everything to come out just right at the same time, and if you do, you can call it luck, but it's a miracle. Okay, so anyway, as you're looking at this, here's this food that Jesus has prepared for them. Well, how did that even get there? Where did it come from? Okay, now, whether or not Jesus created this bounty of fish that is now on the right side of the boat, or whether he just happened to know they were there, it's a miracle. The fact that they have so exceeded the limits of that net, and it did not break, is a miracle. The very fact that when they put their net in on the right side of the boat, the fish did not swim away. But they had this universal mindset, eat me, that they haul all the fish in. The number of miracles in this passage is, oh yeah, let's add one more. This is Jesus, the one who was crucified, the one who was resurrected, who is making his third appearance to the disciples as a group. And so we can see within this, the number of miracles in this passage is absolutely incredible. So that it becomes very clear in this story that the man who called from the shore that provided this bounty of fish was the Lord himself. And he was a fabulous fish finder. A couple of things that maybe can help you take this story home and make it walk and talk in your own life this week. Number one, our own efforts can never accomplish God's work. We understand as the children of God, we understand as the disciples of Christ, that we are called to do his work. But we are absolutely incapable of doing it in our own strength. The disciples did not realize that they were in the midst of a spiritual exercise that had been orchestrated by Jesus. They had set out to fish on their own and failed. When God has a lesson for us to learn, we need to pay attention. We need to set aside our own agenda. We need to set aside our own abilities, and we need to see what God wants to do through us. And we must be willing. For he will not bless others through us unless we are willing. Secondly, Jesus is the great I am. Whatever we need, he will provide. Wants? That's a whole nother issue. There's no guarantees there. But with needs, they are guaranteed. Familiar verse, Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his work, for his ministry, for his message to take it to the world. He let them know that he would be there to help them, to encourage them, and to sustain them. And as great as we can see here that he is I am, he continues to help us, to encourage us, to sustain us, as we are his workers to get his work done. We are his messengers to the world. We are his ambassadors, standing in his place before others. And for us to be effective in that role, we must remember, we must trust. He is the great I am. Father, we thank you that here is almost an addendum to the gospel. John has shared with us two incredible episodes. The first we looked at today, the other we'll look at next week. Lord, in which you are demonstrating yourself once again as our sufficiency, as our strength, as our resources. Lord, may we trust you completely that we will be effective in this life. And Lord, yes, it would be an incredibly unfair advantage to take you into our lives, throughout all our lives, for you are a fabulous fish finder. Lord, prepare our hearts for communion, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. One that would have a decision that they would want to make public today, we just ask you to get out and move forward and let us know of what it is that you would like to share. If you're here today and you've got some burden on your heart, I trust that you can rely on the one who will sustain us through anything. If we rely on our own strength, we're going to be sorely disappointed. We're going to face pain and trial. If we trust in him, we trust in the Lord and his strength, we will be given a joy that will surpass any difficulty we will face in this life. If you don't know him today, come. Let me introduce you to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have come before you today to worship you. You are worthy of our worship. We thank you that we were able to take a section of the Word of God that could be empowered by your Holy Spirit to make sense in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that we can maybe go from here and be more like you going forward than we were. Lord, we continue to think of those brothers and sisters of ours that need a word of encouragement, that need to be given a boost. Lord, may we be the instruments of your love and your grace, that we will see the impact you make right around us because we are willing. In Christ's name, amen.